It was a joy and a privilege to be here this morning, and I was so excited coming down. I couldn't hardly stay on the road and talking with my kids. And then when they were able to come with me, that was icing on the cake. And then for you to sing happy birthday to my wife and I, because this month we had birthdays, and then happy anniversary. You gave me anniversary cards. I'm like, get out. You're spoiling me. I don't ever want to leave. He told me I could stay another week. But my kids have to go back tonight after service, so it's interesting. I'm searching the scripture and saying, oh, Lord, what can we do for tonight? What would be the message that we'd have for a church that seems to be busy doing everything? And when we were here, you know, it was the same thing. We were busy day and night, and Reverend David West, I just talked to him last month, went out to eat with him. He's at that church down in Butler, Pennsylvania, and that's going well. And he said, I'm trying to slow down. I'm trying to retire. And he wrote a book. He's got 3 doctorates now. I went like, man, boo you. I says, you know what? I just can't do that. I don't ever want to do that. But I just thank God for his type of ministry that he can do and writing books and doing all that stuff. And I said, I'm working on a book too. And he goes, you are? I goes, yeah, I'm still trying to read the one that they gave me way back when. So, we're both in the book business. But he wrote a book on the Lord's Prayer, and it is an excellent book. And I have a couple copies of it that we've read it and enjoyed it and passed it out. And it's the simplicity of the Lord's Prayer. And if you ever see it online or could order, I recommend it. It is basic, right down to earth. Although he's got 3 doctorates, you know, he wrote a book that's right down to earth. And some of you know him, and he's still serving the Lord. His son, Davey West, is out in Waco, Texas, and he's a taxidermist. And does beautiful work. He's got so many animals lined up for the next year and a half. He can't take anymore. He's that good. And big name people are coming to him, Davey West, and you knew Davey West, and some of you other youth are in here knew him. He was in our youth group, and wow, he was quiet, but boy, he's got an artistic flair for that, for wildlife. Hunted with him and fished with him and enjoyed him. Tonight, the scripture verses in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, if you want to follow along in your Bible. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to give us an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven. I guess you'd call that pie in the sky. The world don't go for pie in the sky. We Christians better. Pie in the sky, by and by, that's what that's saying. In an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, and reserved for you in heaven. For all those who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. We are going to have pie, and it's a la mode. Okay, never mind. That's just the way I like it. Peach pie, please. Wherein ye greatly rejoice through now, even for a season, though, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And that's real life. He said, it's there. You're going to face it. But you know what? Don't be surprised. It's not a strange thing that happened to you. That the trial of your faith, listen to this, is much more precious than gold, even pure gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as a lamb without blemish and spot, was shed for you. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word of God, which the gospel is simply preached to you. I was on a bus trip the other day to go to a train ride, and a group of people from our church, it was an outing for senior citizens, and I got to sit beside someone I didn't know. I said, I had reservations. I'm supposed to sit with my wife. They say, back of the bus. I was like, what? My wife's in the front of the bus. They told me I had to go to the back of the bus. Gigi argued, hey, we're husband and wife. We've been married 50 years. We like to sit together on a bus trip. Your seat is number 28. She's like, number 3. I go, who am I sitting with? I don't know. There's a lady's name here, Judy. And I said, well, I'll go back if she's pretty and young. They said, go back and see. 28, go and sit down. So I went back there, and she was young and pretty. I go, booyah, this is going to work. I've been married 50 years. I'm safe. You know? So here I find out it was a divine appointment. The Lord wanted me to talk to her. She'd been through divorce, been through some terrible stuff, and she just needed someone to be a friend that wouldn't hit on her. You know what I'm saying? Because in that situation, you feel vulnerable, and you feel like everybody's after you, and she was very rich. And, you know, it's another reason why she was had her guard up, wouldn't hardly say anything at first. And I like say, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do? And she's like, quit prying. Who do you think I am? I said, you know what? I'm just trying to make conversation on a two-hour trip on the bus ride. And I just said, good. You know, I'm a pastor of a church, and I know the Lord, and I like to witness to people about his saving, keeping power and grace, and that's just part of my job. And she wasn't saying anything, so I had to talk. You know how it is. I hate silence. I go, what is she thinking? What is she thinking? And so I tried to relieve her, you know, her mind, and here I found out she liked to bicycle, she liked to ski, she liked to do some things, but most of the things, she worked with her dad in the business, and their business was a $1 million business, and he was right behind me in the seat, and he was like 81 years old, and so on the way back, she traded her seat ticket number with him. I went in there, I was sat down, and I goes, hey, wait a minute, what happened to Judy? He goes, oh, that's my daughter. She told me you were a pastor, and I needed to talk to you. Here he had never gone to church his whole life. His parents had never gone to church. I said, well, what do you think about the Ten Commandments? And he goes, I've heard there are some, but I don't know them. I said, do you know anything about the 10 plagues in Israel where God delivered and proved that he was the great I am and Moses and all that? And he goes, I've heard rumors about some stories about that. He didn't know Daniel and the lions. And he didn't know any of the stories that you people know off by heart. He didn't know any of them. And I go, oh boy, where do I start? How do I talk to him about Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? And he goes, oh, is that right? And it's like he's a businessman. He was so involved in business and making money. And he was good at it. He said, I have 28 families responsible for me. I went to work every day, 12, 14 hours a day, so that these families, the business would succeed. So these were my responsibility. And here I am, 81 years old. I just sold the business 6 months ago. And he says, I'm trying to slow down and relax. And I said, fine. And then you get me. Sit beside you, how are you going to relax? You know, because I'm a little bit hyper once in a while, but I like to have fun. And so I started like talking about some hobbies and things I do, you know, hunting, fishing, and some other stuff. I hope this sermon don't get away because there's only one more verse on there, and then I have to stop. But anyway, talked to him for a couple hours, and he just like kept looking out the window. I don't think he was ignoring me. I think he was taking it all in. I felt that he's saying, like, come on, tell me more. I'm hungry for the truth. I know the truth. I hear the truth. I recognize the truth. And he knows the truth will set him free because there's that God-like nature-shaped vacuum in it that hungers and thirsts after the truth because the world will bombard us with so much other stuff that's not true that when we see the real thing, he was hungry. So I continued on. I try to be sensitive to who I'm talking to and to how much and how much is enough. And so he didn't say, stop, I've heard enough. He just kept looking at me and going like, are you for real? And I go, I sense that you want something that's real. All right, let me ask you. As we come to the bus stop at the end of the the station. We're getting ready to look out. I looked out the window and I go, "Oh, look at that." He looked out the window and he go like, "What?" I said, "There's a rainbow in the sky." He goes, "Yeah, I do see that." I said, "Look out that bus window over there. The other half the rainbow. You know what? They crisscrossed in the middle. It's beautiful. Couldn't be more perfect." I said, "Do you know whose rainbow that is?" He goes, "No." I said, "It's God's." He goes, "Really?" I said, "The Bible says, I will put my bow in the sky." That's a thing that only, that was God's prized possession from heaven. He put that there for us to prove that his word is true, to prove that I will never flood the earth again with water. You can count on it, and I'll give you proof in the generations from wherever they look up in the sky and they see a rainbow, you tell them that's God's. He goes, "Well, how do you know that?" I said, "Well, how many colors are in the rainbow? He goes, "Oh, 7. Everybody knows that." I go, "Everybody doesn't know that. There's 7 colors." I said, "That's God's perfect number. That's how you know that it is God's. And it's only this wide. He could make it so it just blew us away. The whole sky would be a rainbow. But he didn't." He said, "It's a rainbow. It's mine. And it's controlled. And it's perfect the way it is. Those colors in that sequence of colors. And if you study it, they are in a color sequence. And scientists don't know why that's like that, but they know that that is the color spectrum that works, and it's always going to be that way. And no matter how bad it rains, there's always going to be, you know, the perfect rainbow. It's not going to be ziggy. It's not going to be, it's going to be, it's God's." And he goes like, "Whoa, that's pretty cool." And we got off the bus in silence, and he left. I don't know if I ever see him again. I hope I do. He's a millionaire. Call me up someday. He goes, "Where do you pastor at?" I said, "In Cortland." He goes, "What's the size of your church?" And I go, "Why does it come down to that?" I said, 30 to 50. Depends if it's Christmas or Easter or Halloween. I said, "I don't know. But they're all senior citizens. We don't have any youth. We don't have any teenagers. We don't." And I love youth and teenagers, but the Lord's called me there for such a time as this. And I said, "We're old-fashioned with a flair. That's the way we are. And I love them. They love me. And you know what? We've been here 11 years. And he goes, "50? Maybe." I go, "That's a good Sunday. That's a good Sunday. Yes, sirree." And he goes, "Well, there's a Nazarene church up where I just moved to, and they're over 500. I go, "God bless them." It's like, that's awesome. I didn't even know that church existed up there. And he goes like, "Yeah." And people have been asking me to come. I says, "You know people who go there and they've been asking you to come? I would say you go there where you have friends. Go there. It's a church of a Nazarene." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, okay, whatever." Anyway, it was a divine appointment. An opportunity where his daughter, I don't know if she's heard enough or she knew her dad needed to hear something, but traded seats so I would talk to him because she knew, I knew the truth and my intentions were good. And I didn't just want to talk to him because he was rich. I want to talk to him about an inheritance in heaven that fadeth not away. That's what this said. Undefiable, indescribably delicious, if you know the candy bar expression. And that it's more than that. It's better than that. And it will fade not away. And it's reserved for you. It's pie in the sky. Whatever your favorite pie is, it's going to be that with ice cream and all the toppings and all the other. It's better than that. That's what God says. But until then, keep the faith. This church has been faithful. I started here, and it looks like my wife says, "You're going to end here. This is the last time they'll ask you back. You're getting too old." <I'm> like, what? She said, "It's either that or you're going to be so old, you're just dying when they call you back." I say, "He's gone. He's not here anymore. Can't come back." But whatever it is, I know that precious memories, how they linger. How they ever stir my soul. And I thank God for the ministry he allowed Gigi and I to have here and my kids come back, and they were a part of it then. They were a part of our ministry then, and they're a part of my ministry today by letting me get them up here and sing. You know, that's a campfire song. We were going to sing Kumbaya. And you know that one. But we sang that one last night when it started to rain. And Brett and Kathy goes, oh, good, something's saving us. It's a rainstorm. So we had to take the chairs and go in, but we were having fun. And we like to sing a cappella around the campfire. And just know that it's not a song that we sing. It's part of our testimony. And we sing the songs with heart. We sing the songs not because we have perfect voices, but because we love the Lord, and that's part of our testimony. And as a result, have you ever asked the Lord the words of this song? Have I done my best? Have I stood the test? Are you satisfied with me? And you know that song, don't you? You don't. You play so well and you know every song. That's amazing. Thank you for playing for us. Just right off the cuff, you knew that was a song. And I can't think of the title of that song, but a wonderful realization that if we come before God at the end of our life or in the middle of our life or at the beginning of our lives, saying, oh Lord, am I doing my best? Have I done my best? Have I stood the test? When these trials of your faith, being much more precious than pure gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Wow. It takes a step of faith. It takes a look of faith. It takes a continuing in the faith to be found faithful, and someday it be laid away aside for us, and we will receive it, and other people will say, wow, now we see it, we understand it, and we see in part and understand in part, and that's okay. Commit that to the Lord and say, Lord, help, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me to see it so clearly that I realize that it's the trial of our faith is more precious than pure gold. And now the gold standard and gold that you had when I was a kid was $35 an ounce, I remember. And they say, buy gold, it's going to go up. And I said, I can't afford it. Now it's what, $700 an ounce? Now I can't afford it. I probably should have afforded it before this. But you know what? Even if you have that much gold accumulated, it will perish away. A thief will break in and steal it. He said to those faithful servants, he gave some different amounts of talent, remember in the New Testament. But you know, when it all came down to the end, one of them buried it in the ground. And the other ones that he gave it to, he said to them equally, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Equally. The one that had 10 got more. The one that had 7, the one that had 5, and the one that had whatever they had, they doubled it, at least, or more. And as a result, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He gave them all the same accreditation for whatever talent they had, whatever ability, how much time they had. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the one that buried it and didn't do anything with it and talked ill against the Lord of the... I know that you're not fair. You reap where you didn't sow. You expect me to make money for you. Blah, blah, blah. And complain. He goes, you know what? Take his away. You know what? And give it to the ones that had an increase. Do you know that God always has a plan? He's up to something. But he doesn't work alone. He wants me to help him. He's Almighty God. He has all wisdom. He has all knowledge. He has all wealth. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's the other one. What's the other one? Three things he is. Omnipotent. All power. Thank you. I appreciate your help. I asked my daughter today, look up some stuff on the internet. I need a scripture for tonight. And I said, you got to work with me. I'm scratching the ball in the barrel. I burned myself out this morning. You said, I even lost my voice towards the end of the sermon this morning. I was so excited. But I was freezing. I'm cold right now. Ooh, boy, I'm cold. I always get cold. I don't know if the blood rushes to my heart or whatever. But you shake hands with me afterward. I'm not giving you the cold fish. I do not. I try to keep it in my pocket, try to warm it up. I try to do those things. So I appear to be Christian, you know. Okay, yeah, I try to do that. I love this church. I love what you've done for the Lord. I love that you're keeping on, pressing on, and the high calling our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And my message to you tonight from the Lord, because we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, we're going to make it. And we're going to take other people to heaven. And the ones that don't make it, it won't be God's fault. It won't be our fault, because we've been busy for the Lord. And when he comes, will he find us doing, is what the scripture says. Will he find faith? Will he find you doing? Busy doing something, winning somebody, not just accumulating stuff, but doing, loving souls, praying, abiding in the word, and the word abide in us richly, so that we might have that incorruptible seed in us, and he imputes his righteousness to us, like I said this morning, because ours, the best we can do is filthy rags, but thanks be to God, he knows our need ahead of what we're facing, and he said, I'll be your God, I'll be your shield, I'll be your buckler. I'll be your rear guard. We got security behind us too. Wow. When you know all that, why don't we just run the good race of faith and press on? And don't worry about who's keeping the records, because God is. He's keeping the records. And those divine appointments come your way, say, oh, good, I get to witness to somebody today. I just don't know who yet. Doesn't matter. If they're rich, if they're poor, if they're smart, if they're pretty, if they're ugly, it doesn't matter. The world standard, say, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Press on. I am glad for this church. And budgets and missions and all that stuff that you do, don't get discouraged with it. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Could we sing the words of that song in closing? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Now the grace and mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you one and all as you press on for that mark, the prize, the high calling that's in our Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless you.